Hello, friends, and thank you for joining us in what we're calling a conspiracy of goodness, singing the songs and telling the stories of people of our communities and our nation, Larry Long. Recording the stories and songs of the people of our communities, our nation, and our neighborhood, Brett Hughes. I'm Tom Thibodeau, and we're so glad that you've joined us for story and song as we remember and honor summer in the Driftless.
Going home to the Driftless, home to the Driftless, home to the Driftless, to the place I call home. Home to the Driftless, home to the Driftless, home to the Driftless, to the place I call home, where the bobcat and otter, the deer and the black bear, the rabbits and turtles are free to roam, where the beavers are sliding into the waters of spring-fed streams in this place I call home. Going home to the Driftless, home to the Driftless, home to the Driftless, to the place I call home.
The elder storyteller of the Driftless is Ben Logan in his memorable book, The Land Remembers, stories of growing up near Bell Center, which we all know and love. And he writes this about summer. That summer, I heard some men at Petersburg arguing about whether or not you could hear the corn growing on a hot night. It seemed like a good idea to try on our own corn. I thought about telling my brothers so we could do it together. I eliminated Lawrence because he was too superior for that kind of thing. Junior because he was too skeptical. Lee because he'd say it was a silly idea. That just left me. And I went out in one of our cornfields after chores were done. It's hard to believe all the noises there are in a summer night when you want to be quiet. Cows were bawling, a car rumbling somewhere down a gravel road, an owl hooting, the whippoorwills going on and on, nighthawks booming as they swooped down. The insects alone added up into a gigantic chorus of squeaks, rasps, and whistles. I knelt by a stalk of corn, along with the other sounds. I could hear my own heart beating. The ground was damp against my knees. The sweet, sticky smell of the growing corn was everywhere. A light breeze started the leaves whispering. I put my ear up against the stalk. There was something there. It was a little stretching, popping noise that could have been the corn pushing upward. I moved my ear away from the stalk, and the sound was gone. I tried several times. Each time, the sound was there. I had heard corn growing. I raced for the house, but when I came running up to the big maple tree, I lost my nerves and didn't tell. I had heard the corn growing. It was a pleasant secret that I carried with me through the days. Junior watched me with a look that said he knew something was going on inside me. One day when we were hoeing thistles out of the cornfield, he said, "You've got some kind of secret about the corn." I jumped. He was looking right at me. "You'll just laugh at me. You're always so skeptical." "Me skeptical? Well, I don't know about that. See, you're even skeptical about being skeptical." He waited. I told him, "It's possible." He knelt down by our corn stalk. They didn't say anything about hearing it in the daytime. "Well, if corn grows at night, it must grow in the daytime," he said. "They probably just figured it's quieter at night. And if they did, they're crazy." He put his ear against the corn stalk. I wanted very much for him to hear it, but I couldn't tell. He didn't expect anything. He wiggled the stalk back and forth. He pulled his ear tight against it. Finally got up. He was smiling at me. "There's a sound there, all right. Same kind of noise as when I pulled, but not as loud." We went along hoeing thistles, stopping every now and then to kneel down and listen. The sound was always there, louder in some stalks than in others. We got so interested we forgot how we might look to anybody who was watching. "What were you two doing out there today?" Dad asked. "Hoeing thistles." "Well, from where I was, I couldn't tell if you were praying or maybe rolling dice." Everybody was looking at us. We decided not to try any explaining.
Chickadees, goldfinches, nighthawks, woodpeckers, the cooing sound of the morning dove. Outside my window, the colors of autumn, painting a portrait of the land that I love. Going home to the Driftless, home to the Driftless, home to the Driftless, to the place that I love. A hoot owl is calling, a coyote howling, down in the wetlands, a north wind blows. Moonlight on the water, no need to go farther than right where I am, in this place I call home. Going home to the Driftless, home to the Driftless, home to the Driftless, to the place I call home.
The Summer Day, a poem by Mary Oliver. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I've been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? A summer's day.
Well, it's been quite a summer, Tom, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
I tell you, it went by so quickly, but I would have to say it's been a family summer. Road trips, barbecues, family get-togethers, unlike 1 year ago when we started this show, when we were all in quarantine. We had a chance to actually hug and be with those we love. Last week, I was down in Lake Okoboji. My cousin, Melvin James, was admitted into the Iowa Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I was blessed to go down there. And about 1 week back during the induction, following the induction ceremony, we went out to eat. And I happened to bite on a small seed in my salad. That small seed discovered a small crack in my molar in the back of my mouth. And when I bit down on it, it completely cracked that molar in half. And I was in severe pain and rushed back to Minneapolis to see our family dentist, Dr. Bauer, who immediately got me on antibiotics and 2 days later went in and took that molar out. So I turned to my Dr. Bauer and I said, you know, I think I'm going to write you a love song. So here's a love song for Dr. Bauer that I wrote just last week. Cracking jokes with a drill in your hand, taking me on a trip to Wonderland to help ease the pain, 6 shots of Novocaine. Surely not the day I had planned. Dr. Bauer, you mean the world to me. You've cared for my whole family, always on call since my children were small. You're a gift to the whole community. Dr. Bauer, you mean the world to me. During one of my earlier visits with Dr. Bauer, I asked, how many more years do you plan to work before you retire? He just laughed and said, why would I want to do that? Plus, if I did, who would take care of the people, many of whom are homeless, who come into our clinic without insurance, without money, and in need of dental assistance. In this world filled with the dispossessed, doctors like you are surely blessed, helping those in need with love and dignity, always there to lend a hand and do your best. Dr. Bauer, you mean the world to me. You've cared for my whole family, always on call since my children were small. You're a gift to the whole community. Dr. Bauer, you mean the world to me.
Beautiful. And it captures the spirit of all the Dr. Bauers and the Nurse Bauers and all those people who humbly and selflessly serve us. Human beings are flesh and blood, memory and hope. Here is a story from my childhood. Summer vacation was always in August when I was growing up. There were those trips north to Kelly Lake and later Rylander. There were those vacations when it seemed to rain every day and we would be cabin bound. A trip to town to the grocery store was a welcome diversion. There were vacations during which we learned to fish and water ski. There was the year that the boat would only go in reverse. There was the year when my brother's little league team made it to the state championship in Green Bay, and he laughed and we cheered when they were beaten in extra innings. There were the summer vacations when we went to Milwaukee and watched a home game in County Stadium, forming our own Henry Aaron fan club in right field. There were the summer vacations when Dad would coach high school football, and we watched with pride as he walked around in shorts and football spikes, teaching in a very loud voice. Locker rooms with used tape, analgesic, and bleach-resistant mold can still transport me to childhood. We went on a trip one summer to New York to visit my great uncle who lived in Hastings on the Hudson. Uncle Ernest was a millionaire, but he never mentioned money. He was an inventor and investor. He invented a shower in his house that had 7 spouts of shooting water. I showered every day at his house without being told. From that treasure house of summer vacation memories, there's one hour that stands out. I was 12 and my brother Mark was 11. My father was given the use of a friend's cabin for a week on a northern lake. The cabin had a rowboat, which our dad showed us how to use and gave us permission to use by ourselves. It was one of the first times in my life I felt I was growing up. A father's trust and confidence can change a son's life forever. On Thursday of our week-long vacation, Mark and I took the small rowboat out into the middle of the lake to fish. We were novices with boats and fishing poles and were so immersed in the experience that we were oblivious to storm clouds that blanketed the lake. Then the wind began to blow and the water began to pound at our small boat. We were scared. We were in the middle of an unfamiliar lake in an unfamiliar boat, and it was beginning to storm. Our father had taught us how to row together. We sat next to each other and began to row. We pulled on our oars. We pulled hard, but we weren't exactly sure which was our shore. We both wanted to cry. We were desperate. The storm was increasing in intensity, and our efforts seemed futile. Being able to see so little, not knowing what to do next, panic was about to grip us when we heard that voice that was so familiar and strong. It was clear. It was comforting. It was Dad. Standing in a dock on the bank of the lake, he was calling to us, "Don't worry, boys, I'm here. Sit close to each other. Don't turn around. Just follow my voice." We gripped our oars and pulled. "Attaboy, attaboy, pull, pull, pull together." The wind was picking up. The rain was coming in sheets. The intensity of the storm was no match for our father's love and determination. "Pull, attaboy, attaboy, you're doing it. Work together. Pull, pull, you're going to be fine." As his voice became nearer, we became stronger. "Pull, pull, pull together, attaboy, you're almost home." Now he had the boat in his left hand and Mark in his right, and when Mark was up on the dock, he grabbed me by the arm, and I was on the dock by his side. The three of us tied up the boat. The storm was in full rage, and our father held us tight. "Attaboy, I knew you could do it. You worked together." We ran for our cabin, soaking wet, about a quarter of a mile away. 37 years later, I still find myself out in a small boat when the storms come up, and I listen for that familiar voice of my father, who is now in heaven. pull, pull, pull together. Attaboy, I know you can do it. You're almost home. This is my definition of faith. Listening for a father's voice, trusting it will come, and all will be all right. Pull, pull, pull together. Attaboy, you're almost home. This memory has become significant for me during this past summer, as once again I've had to confront fear and panic and helplessness. Like so many years ago, I'm not alone. My brothers and sisters are sitting close, pulling together, working hard, and listening to faithful voices spoken with love and determination. I think of firefighters on the lines in California and Washington State. I think of people who are rescuing neighbors from floodwaters in Louisiana and Georgia and New York and New Jersey. I think of the Red Cross that's welcoming our brothers and sisters from Afghanistan. I think about people who are providing meals and playing music in our communities as a way of bringing us all together. This is a season of remembrance, a remembrance in which my father's voice is still clear and heard. Pull, pull, pull together. Attaboy, you're almost home. Have faith. It's going to be all right.
Hmm. Boy, that's beautiful. You know, 6 years ago, my mother-in-law had passed away, and 2 years prior, my father-in-law had passed away, and my father-in-law was a minister, and my in-laws have a cabin on this beautiful, beautiful lake called Lake Louise, where many of the ministers had acquired land around that lake. And every summer since I've been married, I've gone to Lake Louise. And when my mother-in-law, Ruth, passed away, my wife, Jacqueline, was already at the lake, and she wanted her ashes to be spread there on those waters. So I asked my granddaughter, Liliana, if she would like to go on a grandfather-granddaughter road trip from Minneapolis up to the UP of Michigan for that gathering in memory of her great-grandmother. And that became a yearly trip for my granddaughter and me to drive from Minnesota to Lake Louise in northern Michigan, where just she and I travel together to join family there and to drive back together alone and get to know each other. This year, she's 14 years of age, and she just started her first year in high school this last week. Anyway, a few years back, she was blessed with a new sister by the name of Isabel. And every one of my grandchildren and my children, I've written a song for, and I realized on this road trip that I had not written a song for my granddaughter Isabel, Liliana's sister. So this is it. And Tom, I'll teach it to you if you don't mind. You know, and it's a pretty simple song. It's just called Isabel, Isabel. Isabel, 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 Isabel. Isabel, Isabel, sure do love my Isabel. You're the apple of your daddy's eye. You're the twinkling star up high, far beyond the open sky. Isabel, Isabel, your mama, papa sure loves you. Liliana and Arthur too. You're the earth, star and moon. Isabel, Isabel. Here we go. Isabel, Isabel. Isabel, Isabel. Isabel, Isabel, sure do love my Isabel. Loves to giggle, loves to laugh, loves to jump up on Grandpa's lap, loves to sing, loves to dance, whenever she can get the chance. Isabel, 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 sure do love my Isabel. Whenever you are feeling sad, when your world turns to the bad, think of this song by your granddad, guaranteed to make you glad. Isabel, 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 sure do love my Isabel. You know, it sure is great to get back on the radio on WDRT once again. But even more special to be with you, my brother Tom and my brother Brett. I tell ya, summer's over, fall's approaching. And now it's time for new episodes of Conspiracy of Goodness. And we sure thank you all for listening.
Fall may be coming, but there's time for bonfires. There's time for long walks in the woods, looking at the leaves turning. There's time to go to an orchard and pick a fresh apple. There's time to tell stories and share them with your friends. Until we meet again, friends, peace and all good.
Tom, why don't we get everybody in Radio Land to sing along to this chorus to my granddaughter? It would sure make her happy. Let's do it one more time. Are you ready, Tom?
I'm ready.
Isabel, 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 sure do love my Isabel. Thanks for listening, and thank you for all that you do.
You have been listening to Conspiracy of Goodness with Larry Long and Tom Thibodeau, produced and recorded by Brett Hoos. For more information about Larry and Tom, please visit www.larrylong.org and www.tomttalks.com. We look forward to being with you next week. Thank you for listening.